This is Where We Meet, sharing conversations from New Mexico and beyond. I'm Chelsea Reedy, and the show is supported by the National Endowment for the Humanities. Taos Center for the Arts would like to recognize that it operates on the homelands of the Red Willow people of Taos Pueblo. We'd like to honor the ongoing dedication and importance of Native and Indigenous cultures within our community and within the land we live, learn, and exist on. Today we hear from Julia Reinhard-Lupton. Lupton teaches English at the University of California at Irvine, where she co-directs the new Swan Shakespeare Center and serves as interim director of the UC Humanities Research Institute. She has written 4 books on Shakespeare and is a former Guggenheim Fellow. In this conversation with Colette LaBeouf, Lupton shares how her academic and community work explores connections between William Shakespeare and a diversity of life elements. She works with community members, including religious entities and national experts, to explore the writer's work. These connections form a bridge that allow a diverse audience to engage and learn about Shakespeare's work. The new Swan Shakespeare Center at UC Irvine fosters research and teaching around Shakespeare's literature. In the summertime, it culminates into a festival. In this conversation, LaBeouf and Lupton refer to the many programs organized both this summer and through the past few years. Here's Julia Lupton sharing how the new Swan Shakespeare Center and its festival came to be.
I've been at UC Irvine for over 30 years and teaching Shakespeare primarily. But 10 years ago, I got interested in performance in a more serious way because my colleague Eli Simon was producing The Merchant of Venice in this brand new outdoor, semi-portable, semi-Elizabethan style theater. And I was very interested in The Merchant of Venice. I was directing our Jewish studies program, and I've written a lot on The Merchant of Venice. And it's a very controversial play. It's a sensitive play to stage in any community. And UC Irvine has a kind of vexed history with tensions around Jewish issues. So I volunteered to organize some programming with, you know, the Hillel and a local synagogue and just, you know, campus groups. And the director, Eli Simon, was excited to work with me. And so it just kind of grew from there. And about maybe 2 to 3 years into the history of the festival, we decided that we wanted center status, that we were doing enough that was substantial and consistent and ongoing and outward looking that we could really formalize our relationship. As you probably know, you know, you can call yourself a center on most campuses with a little bit of support from your dean or your provost. And it often doesn't even come with much money, but you start using or space. Like, we don't have an office that's different from mine.
Right. It feels like, you know, it's so unique. I mean, it's Shakespeare. Okay. Everyone knows about Shakespeare, but it's performance, it's events, it's scholarship, it's academic, it's for the community that is not academic. And that strikes me as really unique. Can you talk about how maybe you and Professor Simon, that you two as directors or co-directors look at programming and performance in terms of these various things?
Yeah, well, I mean, the festival itself, you know, draws people from all over Orange County. So some of them are students and faculty and staff, but most of them are not. You know, it really serves the community. The summer audience is a little uncertain when it comes to the campus, but there's a lot of people, you know, looking for things to do. And we've got very faithful ticket holders who have been coming for, you know, all or most of the 10 years.
Wow.
So the theater is intrinsically public oriented and you know, often has an ambivalent relationship to academia.
Yes.
but we're on a campus, you know.
Yeah.
And so the programming is, you know, it's also very public oriented. I do a lot of community teaching. Zoom has really allowed me to partner with another Shakespeare Center up north at Santa Cruz. And so we co-teach and we share our publics and we put things on YouTube so we can grow the public beyond our geography. So I really focus on, the center's work really focuses on community teaching. I, of course, you know, write a lot and do a lot of research. I don't really need the center to do that. I need the center in order to reach people who I won't get through my scholarly networks. And so that's really the focus.
So let's talk about a couple of the initiatives or projects you're working on, starting with Shakespeare's Psalms and Psalms. I mean, tell me about that. How did that come about? And what is the project like?
Well, that's my community teaching with Sean Kylan up at Santa Cruz. And we've known each other, you know, as colleagues for maybe 10 years, but we've been, he's also involved with a festival and a center, which, you know, and a lot of Shakespeareans don't have that double opportunity to both work with a theater and pursue more traditional text-based scholarship. And we're also kind of kindred spirits because we're interested in Shakespeare as a source of wisdom, of inspiration, of personal and communal growth. And so we kind of are perfect community teachers because we have those values. We're not just trying to translate our academic writing into something that a non-academic might understand. We're actually, the community is our laboratory, and we're trying to grow with Shakespeare. And that included some biblical and also like Roman and other kinds of philosophical texts that are, you know, teaching people how to live, you know, which is how I defined wisdom writing. It's like how philosophy is how to live. Mm-hmm. And so that was really exciting. And we had a lot of interest, you know, both in the live sessions and then also people catching up with our lightly edited videos because Zoom makes that so easy. And then I started studying the Psalms just as a lay learner, apart mm-hmm. from Shakespeare. Really at the beginning of COVID, and I was again seeking community, seeking healing, and various synagogues were trying to figure out how to continue to engage their congregations when they could no longer meet in person. And text study ends up being a very good thing to do in these Zoom settings. So I've been studying Psalms with two different congregations since March 2020, since the virus began. And of course, once I start getting deep into a classical text like the Book of Psalms, I want to think about how that relates to Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. And so we decide to do this series this spring, really focusing on that. And Sean and I did some of the teaching, but we also brought in amazing people, Robert Alter, who is the foremost modern translator of the Psalms from Hebrew into English, Paul Edmondson from the Shakespeare Institute in Stratford, who's also an Anglican priest. We had really Shana Trepido, a former student of mine who teaches at Yeshiva University and is both a Shakespearean and very versed in rabbinic and biblical discourses. So we just had a great time. And again, it's not just about community teaching, it's about community learning. Yeah. Like, this is how I learn. Mm-hmm. I need the community as my sounding board in order to move forward mm-hmm. as a whole person, a thinking person, a praying person, a person engaging with the world, the cosmos, not just the world.
I'm interested in who participated. What kind of, where did people come from to participate in this? And how did you engage them and find this community for learning?
Yeah, well, we had a range of people. I mean, there's always a lot of lifelong learners, you know, retired, educated people who are interested in continuing to learn mm-hmm. in settings like this that aren't credit bearing and have a social dimension. So that's part of our base. But we also had, you know, graduate students from different and alumni, you know, some of whom were teaching and some of whom were learning and some of whom were doing both mm-hmm. and from different faith traditions. So I have a wonderful Baha'i student. I have a wonderful Mormon student. Shana is Jewish, you know, so and also just humanists who are seeking something from literature besides a historical context, which is what a lot of Shakespeare scholarship has become, you know, is kind of reconstructing the world that Shakespeare lived in, which isn't always what draws non-scholars to Shakespeare. So we had some staff from the university and some actors, you know, a range of people. It was really fun. Mm-hmm. It was 8 weeks, mm-hmm. and we'll do something else next year. We haven't decided quite what yet. We're probably going to write a book together, collecting some of these teachings and, you know, exploring this community learning as a method and a way of generating ideas and tools. I think we're going to do that, and I want to use the community teaching as a way to generate some of that material. Mm-hmm. So we'll continue it next year, definitely.
It sounds amazing. Okay, so that's only one thing. There's also Educators Day.
Yes, I'm gearing up for that now, and that's a day where we bring teachers to campus, and they have an afternoon of study. Our theme this year is Shakespeare and Migration, because the two plays that we're featuring involve shipwrecks and family separation. That's Comedy of Errors and Pericles, Prince of Tyre. And Comedy of Errors has been, you know, there's a lot of interesting bilingual productions of Comedy of Errors and setting Comedy of Errors on the U.S.-Mexico border. So we're interested in addressing those themes with teachers who in Orange County, you know, often have students from all different parts of the world, and different backgrounds, different legal statuses, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I'll be co-teaching that with Jesus Lopez, who is our stage manager and a gifted actor, director, video actor.
Awesome. One thing I really loved about the reading about Educators Day was, you know, it's for current teachers, retired teachers, but it was also the teacher who's curious, or the teaching curious, or something like that. And I was like, I love that, because you don't have to be official. You could just be inclined.
Exactly. So we've got some undergraduates signed up who might want to go into teaching, but we're not requiring that. You know, we have enough spots to accommodate people. And I just want a lively group of people who are going to be focusing on questions of pedagogy, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the Psalms group is a form of teaching, but it's not about teaching.
Right.
But this is really going to focus on teaching. So Jesus will talk about how to use theater games in the classroom. And I'll talk about some of the teaching that I've done around students' immigration backgrounds, cultural backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be a lot of opportunity for the teachers themselves to exchange their ideas with each other, because I don't know how to teach high school.
Yeah.
And so we're, you know, providing a framework for them to do that work.
And that's something you guys do every year, this with the educators.
Yeah. So we study for the afternoon, and then we go to the theater in the evening.
How nice.
We provide tickets. We have dinner in between. Uh-huh. We have a nice little pot of money from our donors. So we can, you know, basically the day is free to the teachers, and it's very special.
Yes. You have a retreat. It sounds like maybe a cross in between the first project and the second a little bit.
Yeah. So this is our first year doing a Shakespeare retreat. And
okay,
we came up with the idea. I have a community partner who's a rabbi in Orange County who also has a theater background. And she just loves everything that the New Swan does. She was our consultant the second time we produced The Merchant of Venice. And she's just very innovative and energetic. So she's like, let's do a retreat on the UCI campus, and we'll do text study. And then we'll also have, you know, festive meals. We'll do an interfaith Shabbat. We'll go to performances together. And it'll be both in person, unlike our Psalms group, which is completely virtual, but we're also going to be streaming it so that people can attend who can't get to campus.
I saw that, yeah. And then in terms of that is based on also a collaboration, which is something that is, like, you know, I keep hearing in all of these things, is that you you know, also from your participation in your scholarship and in your communities, more than one, you have really strong partners for these projects.
I hate doing things by myself. I you know, I really want to share the responsibility, the work, the vision, and the audience list, mm-hmm. the Rolodex.
Yeah. Yeah.
With someone else.
Yeah.
And I've learned that over and over again, that when I try to generate something all by myself, it's very stressful. I don't get enough people. I, you know, it's just much better to combine talents and audiences. Mm-hmm. And it's really not about finances, because a lot of the stuff I do is free or practically free, except that, you know, I'm a well-paid faculty member, so my time, you know, I'm giving my time to it. But I don't have to fundraise for everything because I'm doing a lot of the work myself. But I need those partners to help make it live in the world, so whether it's a synagogue or another Shakespeare Center or the theater festival or the teachers, like the Educators Day. I have two alumni from UC Irvine who are now teachers at Garden Grove High School, and they are the co-organizers of the event, and they get a small stipend, and they're the ones who are going out and inviting teachers and asking people to sign up, because that's I don't great. Have those network.
Also, you have a lecture series.
Yeah, so every year for the New Swan in the past, we had academic, not academic talks, but, you know, research-based talks outside the theater once a week before the play began. So if the performance is at 8, at 7 o'clock on Saturdays, usually we would have a lecture. Mm-hmm. And it was just challenging because we didn't have good sound, and the lecturers were wonderful, but they weren't always addressing the productions themselves. They were talking about their research, and they couldn't talk for very long because we had to seat people for the theater and all this. So then came COVID, and we didn't have a festival, a live, you know, in-person festival. And we started doing lectures and reading groups online, and we actually were getting more rather than fewer people. I'm sure you found this too, with the remote format. And so I wanted to carry some of that energy into our return to the theater. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have a series where I could continue to engage scholars, mainly from the area, some from campus, some from other universities, engage them in the work of the festival, but not tie it quite so directly to the evening of a performance. And because these will be recorded, people can see them anytime. Mm-hmm. So if they miss the event, but they still want to see what, you know, my chair, Elizabeth Allen, has to say about Sanctuary, they'll be able to check that out. So it's an experiment, mm-hmm. but it's we've gotten a lot of experience doing Zoom lectures, and it doesn't have to be wildly successful for it to be successful.
No, I totally. Oh no, you know? Totally, totally. I totally agree, and I so agree about the. You know, it's hard to do something right before a performance, just for logistics. Always, attention span, logistics. Everyone's in a hurry. People are running in late. Everyone wants to get their seat. Whatever.
It's very challenging, and you can't really do it after either because it's 10 p.m.
And then also, I imagine, even though you said, you know, that often the people would be local, it doesn't. You're not. You know, limited to that, which is also wonderful, you know, because your network is huge. Your Shakespeare network is massive, I'm sure. So you have people that you might be able to invite that are elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was great having, you know, someone from Stratford talk at our Psalms thing.
Yeah.
And that would have been impossible to arrange.
Yes.
It would have been, you know, so expensive and complex. I'm sure he couldn't have come. He's a guy who's, you know, in high demand, but but to come for an evening,
yeah,
do that. So it's just it's very humane.
This is where we meet, sharing conversations from New Mexico and beyond. I'm Chelsea Reedy. Today, our guest is Julia Reinhard-Lupton. The UC Irvine professor talks with Colette LaBeouf about some of the forms that sharing her academic work takes, including inviting people to share food. Here is Julia Lupton.
I really think that food is a fantastic unifier and the point of departure for sharing research and cultural history and ideas. So we're having a global foodways in the age of Shakespeare talk. We'll launch our Summer of Scholarship series. And I'm sure we'll have a lot of people coming to that because even if they don't want to go to a production because they think it's going to be too hard, they're interested in hearing more about what food was like. And we have a unique angle on it because our lecturer who's giving that talk comes from a Lebanese American background, and she's very familiar with the whole Levant and spice roads and silk roads and the kind of depth of exchange that occurred around food in the Middle Ages and Renaissance, which is often a surprise to people. So I love using food. We've done this a lot. We had a Shakespeare's Kitchen event. We had an Italian feasting event. And you know, there's always real research substance there.
Right.
We did a Jane Austen tea.
I love it.
So a lot of substance, but it's fun and it's an entree and it gets people in the room. And so I love that for public programming. The other thing that we do that I think is very fun and innovative is our Shakespeare trials. And these are interactive theater events. We get two amazing lawyers and we're in a theater space. We started also to stream them live while we deliver them. And the lawyers come in and they debate the innocence and guilt of a character. And we have a little performance with our actors and then and the it's not rehearsed. I mean, the actors are rehearsed, but the lawyers are not rehearsed. They don't know what the other person is going to say. And so it's really like quite exciting.
So give me an example, like of how are the characters chosen or, I mean, how does it get decided? What's going to be the focus?
Well, we try to, we're, other people have done this. So, you know, we look around to see what ideas are out there. We started with Hamlet. And we put Hamlet on trial for first-degree murder in the death of Polonius. That was very exciting. And then coming out of our Merchant of Venice production in 2019, Shylock got to appeal his case. And so he came back and relitigated the settlement that he had agreed to in Shakespeare's play. So that was very exciting. And then we, it was actually... just by coincidence, it was right after January 6th.
I was just going to say,
We had already planned the trial of Brutus from Julius Caesar, and he was tried for both insurrection and assassination. And he was convicted of assassination, but he was actually found innocent of insurrection because it's really Mark Antony who's the insurrectionist.
Interesting.
So that was very, very fascinating.
Interesting. Well, it's so I'm just thinking about your whole food thing and I love that because I think having people engage over a meal, changes sort of the tone of learning or discovery and softens it for most people. You're actually taking in, you're actually able to share with people and receive and there's all of that. But I also think there must be this whole audience of, because the world we live in, of course, right now, is about law, you know, and how that may be another way for an audience that might not be academically inclined to access Shakespeare to connect with those important questions.
Yeah, we find that although some of our regulars come to the trial, people that are also coming to the festival or to other kinds of lectures, we also get a very distinctive crowd. And our partners there are the two law schools, Stanford Law and Berkeley Law. And so it's their alumni, their faculty, their students, their staff, plus our group. So again, there's that, you know, you have three Rolodex, it's not just one. And you get out there to a different group of people. And to me, that's like the gold standard of a successful event is,
yeah,
are there new people in the room?
Yeah.
And will I be able to continue to engage them in future programming, mm-hmm, because they're going to get into this?
Yeah.
So there's the food people, the law people, the, yeah, performance people, people who are interested in, you know, biblical or spiritual things.
Yes.
You know, people who are interested in history. Yeah, there's just a range of different audiences, and it's very fun.
Thank you to Julia Lupton for sharing her work in engaging communities and reflecting on Shakespeare's work. Through the summer, performances and lectures are being held at the New Swan Shakespeare Festival. More information at newswanshakespeare.com. Where We Meet comes from Taos Center for the Arts in Taos, New Mexico, and is supported by the National Endowment for the Humanities. Producers include Colette LaBeouf, Chelsea Reedy, Alice Morion, Ariana Cubillos-Vogler, and Joshua Aragon. Research and writing by Jacqueline Paul. Any views, findings, conclusions, or recommendations expressed in this program do not necessarily represent those of the National Endowment for the Humanities. On Where We Meet, we share conversations from New Mexico and beyond. Thanks for listening. Be well.